A lot of artists are looking at aspirationally, who do we become? What is our trajectory into the future?
What is the world that I want to build? What is the world that excites me?
Afrofuturism, in a way, speaks about a future in absence of a past. I think a lot of what drives that is an absence of knowledge of who we were. How do we take back control?
A space of solace for Africans, or where people can seek refuge. I imagine the mothership to be something like Star Trek. Spaceship, you know.
How do we take back control of our history?
What I am doing is no longer abstract. It does connect tangibly to the actual history of jazz.
How do we own our present?
It's okay. Like, it's really okay for men to wear lace underwear, or just men to wear, like, whatever they want.
Who will we be in 100 years from now, or even 1,000 years from now?
Exhibition curator, Zach Olvey. Get up, stand up now. Episode 5, Mothership.
Let's open the blues up and let some of the blues blood come out to show them.
A whole bunch of ribbons are required.
One clue, and it's in frame.
Mothership Connection.
Mothership. Imagine a black future. No Rambo knives in council blocks, no profiling by jackboot jocks. Imagine a black future. No suspect looks, no shop escorts, no hostile tones, no priced out homes. Imagine a black future. No brushing off, no brushing out. Our pain is seen, our pain is real. Our pain is just like yours. We hurt and we heal. Imagine this black future. Don't call it debt, don't call it aid. Your name is death and that's not me. Imagine this black future. No cold hand child, no soldier boys, no endless war, no ashed out land. Imagine this black future of love in him and love in her and love in they and love in them. Imagine this black future. No Western gods, no Eastern cash, no tribe v tribe, the past stays past. Imagine this black future. No shame in us, all pride in us. Imagine this black future. Chase it. Trust.
What is Afrofuturism? You're going to ask that question. Afrofuturism is an attempt to expand the imaginary procedures that happen when we think about blackness or Africa through a recontextualization or a decontextualization. History has given us a certain set of structures with which we view blackness or even like see its relevance, and Afrofuturism is an attempt to subvert all of that. My name is Shabaka Hutchings and I am a saxophone and clarinet player and I compose. I'm in Sons of Kemet, The Comet is Coming and Shabaka and the Ancestors. Why does Afrofuturism matter now? The question is really, does Afrofuturism matter now? It doesn't really. People are going to be recontextualizing what it means to be black and African anyway, but in some ways, a term is an attempt to standardize and put into the mainstream practices that people have been doing for a long time. Blackness has never been a static term. And there's always been people that are trying to push the parameters of what it means to be black or what it means to be African in a global context. So for me, Afrofuturism means the coming of age of a practice that's been happening for a very long time. First of all, I don't think Afrofuturism is something that started in America. like the idea of transformation, the idea of the transmorphing of man into animal, man into spirit, man into things that are beyond our imagination, is something that has existed in lots and lots of African cultures in very many forms. And for me, that's the root of Afrofuturism, the taking of what we know and transforming it into something that we can't imagine. How does that present itself in a British context? Is us furthering that trend, maybe to do with jazz or maybe to do with art, taking a fact of our existence that we think we have a grasp on and then spinning it in a way that makes people go, whoa, I did not think that this could be transformed into that.
All in planet Earth, I am a different order of being.
This is Jimmy Faye, Channel 5 Stone Jar. As you are probably aware, several local mystics have predicted a landing from space this afternoon in the person of a black musician and thinker named Sun Ra. He's reputed to have been traveling in outer space all this time with his intergalactic mid-sized solar orchestra. And upon landing, he will reveal to the world his so-called plan for the salvation of the black race. This is incredible. I can't believe it is really happening. I can't believe it is really happening.
A number of really famous African-American bands, from Sun Ra to Parliament, were able to actually express that on stage. It's also about a connection of the African diaspora to technology and science fiction. My name is Yinka Shonibare, and I'm an artist, and I'm very interested in exploring my background, my historical background, and particularly issues around the diaspora and the post-colonial African experience. I make references to the history of arts, to literature, film. Sometimes I do video work, and I also do public art. Then I work across disciplines. You know, I take from fashion, printmaking, sculpture, photography. So we are in my studio in East London, an old warehouse that I've taken over. And there are workstations, bits and pieces from projects that we're working on. A Yoruba crown, a Nigerian tribe. It looks very beautiful. It's a beaded crown. Images of some of my wind sculptures, you know, installed around different parts of the world. Certificates I've received for various things I've done. An MBE from the Queen, just on my right. Made a Royal Academician, a CBE. And I also have that certificate up in my studio. It's very interesting because of what I do. You know, a lot of my work really is a critique of colonialism and the relationship to empire. But I also feel very strongly that as people from the African diaspora, if we want to change things, we do in fact have to be part of the mainstream. And I know many people question me about accepting my MBE and my CBE, but I think that it's not necessarily a great thing to remain other and always in opposition to the establishment. I think it's much more useful and helpful for us, especially from the African diaspora, to actually be part of the mainstream and change things there, rather than constantly existing on the margins. By actually accepting those honors and also being at the Royal Academy, I have actually been able to affect change far more than I would have been able to do if I had remained on the outside. All art is a way of transcending the ordinary. You know, what you're trying to do as an artist is to turn the ordinary into the extraordinary. And I think that's where the art is, where you've actually managed to be transformative in what you're doing. So the use of fantasy sometimes in my practice is a way to move beyond the mundane and locate a viewer into a different realm. You know, I think art works better when people can have a completely new experience that's actually different from the ordinary. I mean, they see the ordinary, but then it's been transformed in some way, and I think that's what you do through fantasy.
I'm Olola Ogunesi, and I'm a designer. I'm from Lagos, Nigeria, and I live in London. My graduate collection, Psychedelic, was my final year project that I did at Central St. Martins. I really wanted to know more about myself and my heritage. I felt like I had always been taught about other cultures and that have no kind of relevance to my life or like my identity, and I really just wanted to know more about myself. With my work, I really wanted to introduce them to a part of Nigeria that they had no idea about. And even loads of Nigerians don't even have any idea about. Music is something that is very personal to me. It like really drives me creatively. So that was my starting point. And I found this array of psychedelic African rock. It was really inspiring and exciting. So I just listened to that music. Akula. The Funkees, Akula Owu Onyera. Akula. It's a really, really great track. So these psychedelic rock bands were around in the 70s and the 80s. This was a time where there were a lot of musicians speaking out and just expressing themselves creatively in Nigeria. Kolomak, the Lejadu sisters, Tunji Oyeyonga. They were creating like this new way of thinking through their music. Even my parents don't really know much about those artists because I feel like the government really didn't support them as much as they could have, because obviously you don't want people to know the power they have or otherwise like you're done for. So I think that has a lot to do with why a lot of Nigerians don't really know about this music or celebrate this music. They kind of only know about Fela Kuti. So there's a song and it's just talking about this guy wanting to be with this other man's wife. Things you wouldn't necessarily, like you'd be too scared to say to people because of being judged or whatever. I guess they would put it in the music. Sister! Offa and the Black Company, which was the show music I used. That song is called Allah Akbar. It's a really, really, really wild song. They have some really amazing synths in the beats. And I just feel like the energy from that music really had a great impact on the way I thought creatively and the mindset I was in. The music got me really looking at myself and just blackness and what blackness meant to me. What blackness is right now in the world I'm in. And I was seeing so many young, talented black people like Grace Wells Bonner and Ibe Kamara creating their own world and showing people like a new way of seeing blackness and how they see themselves. So that really inspired me to like figure out what is the world that I want to build? What is the world that excites me? I love fashion, but I love people more. So it's like if I could figure out a way to create my fashion so it services people and it services us, that's what I wanted to do.
Afrofuturism really is about aspiration. And if we think about the African-American desire for emancipation and escape, in Afrofuturism is a space where a lot of African-Americans can express that need to be in control of their own lives and to do things that possibly they wouldn't be able to do in racist America. So it does provide a utopian space. And that's essentially what Afrofuturism is. I mean, I think a lot of the young people still have the same issues of discrimination. You know, recently we've experienced Black Lives Matter campaign in the US, and it's quite odd that in 2019, those kinds of discriminations are still happening, and there's police brutality as well. Those same issues in the 70s are still here, and it's the need for transformation, the need for escape. All of those things are still relevant because people are still being discriminated against. The need for escape will always be there. It may not be called Afrofuturism, but that need for creativity, for transformation, will always remain. It might be called another name, but I think it's still the same instinct. A number of African Americans, artists, from Nick Cave to Beyoncé, have actually used the kind of science fiction aesthetics as part of their means of expression.
My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. I like my baby hair with baby hair and afro. I like my Negro nose with Jackson 5 nostrils. Earned all this money, but they never take the country out me. I got hot sauce in my bag, swag.
I've got a piece called Revolution Kid, and the piece is a young boy, and he's actually based on the painting by a French painter called Delacroix. So there's a painting about the French Revolution, and there's a kid with a gun central to the painting. There were the riots. Shops were being looted. And so that was when I made that piece. So it's a kid, you know, with a gun, and he's got Victorian clothes on. The kid doesn't have a human head. He's got a calf head. The kid is not anyone in particular. The kid is just kind of rebellious, really, but he's transformed into this mythological creature. So he becomes a symbol of revolution. And he's got a gold pistol. When Gaddafi of Libya was found when he was trying to escape, he actually had a gold pistol with him. There was a revolution then in Libya, and there was some revolution going on in London. Bits from current affairs linked to revolution that I put together in this piece. Afrofuturism, really, it's transformational. It's about trying to produce something completely new of your own, creating a culture out of your diaspora experience. And in a sense, Afrofuturism is about the art of wanting to change something or transform something. And I guess all revolutions are also about transformation. So I guess that's where I might see some link. Now, I'm well known for using African textiles in my work. And the fabrics, although known as African textiles, actually are Indonesian-influenced fabrics produced by the Dutch and then sold to the African market. And some of the fabrics are also now made in Africa, and they're also made in China. But the origins of the fabrics are kind of interesting because the origins go from the Dutch colonization of Indonesia across to the relationship with West Africa, then China, and then Africa itself, you know, Nigeria. The African textiles, I think, express the relationship that Africa has with the rest of the world, and it's not simply an authentic African textile, you know, it's an expression of all those different relationships. And so that's why I find the fabrics a great metaphor for expressing my own contemporary, you know, African experience.
First of all, it has a black Madonna. Secondly, it celebrates the black theology. New directions for black women's liberation struggle.
Like playing with the Sun Ra Orchestra in 2014. On one hand, it was nerve-wracking, because there's so much history associated with the group. On the other hand, it's a process of connecting history. So the history that the members of that band have, or like knowledge of history, stems back, you know, like 70 years before anything that I know, 80 years. Marshall Allen is 90. So all of a sudden, what I am doing is no longer abstract. All of a sudden, it does connect tangibly to the actual history of jazz, which is enlightening. I don't think it was an Afrofuturist experience, because it's an experience that led on from the realms of thought and practice that I'd been doing anyway. I was playing a lot of free improv with people like Evan Parker and Noel Cotshill, London Improvisers Orchestra. So the progression to actually linking it with the actual history was something that isn't necessarily going forward into a flight of fancy. It's something that is rooted in the here and now, in the present. And for me, Afrofuturism is speculative. It's got to be an imaginative process. The problem is people associate tradition or the present with somehow inertia, whereas Afrofuturism is going forward, whereby tradition is fluid and always has been, and the present doesn't exist actually. It's just a combination of the past and the future that's climbing. And anyway, it's enough of the story.
Textile, which was like a leather tie-dye, and that was just something that informed from my Nigerian childhood, because I grew up in Lagos and my grandma and my mom were both fashion designers, and my grandma used to do a lot of adire dyeing, which is like a traditional Nigerian dyeing technique. So when I was designing, I really wanted to challenge what it is to be masculine, how we see strong men in our society. The strong men that I look up to are people like Andre 3000 and like Prince. Those wouldn't necessarily be seen as very strong masculine people in society, but to me, I'm like, their way of thinking was so strong-minded and open that the respect I have for them was so much. With my silhouettes and my cuts, I really just wanted to make menswear sexy and show guys that not only girls can be sexy, and like show skin that it can be for both people, whether you are heterosexual or gay. I'm not designing just for gay people or heterosexual people. I'm just designing for people. I do feel like everyone is on this gender spectrum. You're always moving back and forth, and it's never really a this is me for forever. That's what I want to champion and celebrate. I was designing and I was telling my aunts that I was going to use lace underwear for the men. They were like to me, men can't wear lace, like that is ridiculous. Like, and I was trying to have this conversation with them, just telling them like, it's okay. Like, it's really okay for men to wear lace underwear, or just men to wear like whatever they want. And we were literally arguing for like half an hour. And then after my show, once they saw it, the first thing they said to me was like, oh my God, we loved everything, it was beautiful. They completely just didn't care about the lace underwear. They completely didn't care that the men's lower stomach was exposed, or like their upper chest or waist. They were just captivated by the moment and the energy. And I'm like, okay, wow, like I can actually change people's way of thinking by just putting out work rather than having to have this conversation with them. Each look was like a character in the story. No look had like the same kind of color or same kind of print. Black motocross, I guess, leather trousers. Leather patchwork print on top of them. So I had loads of different colors, and the shapes of the leather pieces that I was sewn in were very psychedelic in the way they looked like they were moving and melting. The trousers had a really low waist, so they would expose the men's V-hip, like a bright neon yellow lace pant, thick silver chain belts which were like wrapped around the body and just hanging off his hip. Really strong cowboy boots sprayed black and yellow. And the other colors I used in that were like green, red, white, blue. And then the makeup was very petrol-like. You call them my guys petrol heads because like the colors were infusing into each other. It'd be like a really strong purple going into green and like a red. I just wanted to challenge what men's sexuality, what their desires are, and like who they are. I just find that in Nigeria, so many people are very much like each other. They're just kind of scared to be different. I did this collection like 2 years ago now, and a lot has changed in these 2 years, especially in Nigeria. I'm happy to see boys opening up more, being soft and expressing that through their music or through their art. If they're designers, like, I see a lot of hope for that and a lot of power with change through fashion.
The future of Afrofuturism is no Afrofuturism. I actually don't really like the term, just because normally the term is used in a pretty basic, non-intelligent way. It's used as a kind of shorthand for black people in space or funny costumes. Even in the context of Sun Ra, what he had to say was a lot deeper than the imagery that people normally associate with him. Imagery had a lot of meaning that he didn't talk about. So for me, the future of Afrofuturism is more depth. Who is your greatest Afrofuturist hero? It would have to be the slave that, despite everyone telling him, you are not a man, you have no soul, the church saying you are a subhuman, kind of even below animal, the person that had the philosophical insight to go, I am a man, and because of these processes of thought, I'm going to fight for my freedom. And that's pretty Afrofuturist, because it's literally taking the definition of Africanness and blackness and saying, despite what the whole kind of power structure says, we are something different from what you can even imagine.
Thanks for listening to Get Up, Stand Up Now, Mothership, with the voices of Shabaka Hutchins, Yinka Shonibare, Maolola Ogunlesi, Zach Ove, and me, Joshua Iden. The music was by Gaika, Shabaka Hutchins, and the Sun Ra Orchestra, courtesy of Something Else and BBC Radio 3. This has been a reduced listening production for Somerset House. The producer was May Lee Evans. You can subscribe and hear other editions of the podcast on iTunes and all other major podcast platforms. Just search Somerset House on your podcast app. And if you're in London and you're listening before the 15th of September 2019, then make sure you check out the exhibition Get Up, Stand Up Now, created by Zach Ove for Somerset House. Okay, that's fine. I just changed my stuff, you know. I just trample over my artistic integrity for your listeners' listening pleasure. You know what I'm saying? Anything for the crowd, the rafters, you know, the mothers listening whilst they do their washing. That's what's important, really. Oh my God.
I beg you use it. I dare you. All right. Take six.